Okay, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining our Parsha Perspectives on Parshas Vayetze. It's good to see you all, and thanks for joining. I'd like to start. The title of the speech or the shiur is State of Mind and the City of Life. And we find something very unusual about Yaakov Avinu's experience, perhaps the most incredible experience that he lived through, that he endured throughout his entire very exciting life, is this moment that he had the Vayachalom v'nei sula mutzav arza rosho magi ha-shamayim. He has his dream, and he sees the Malachi Elokim olim v'yordim bo. And in that dream, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, v'yaza achak ha'afar ha'aretz, v'faratzta yama v'keinu tzafon v'negva, you're going to be the father of a Klal Yisrael. Yaakov awakes from the dream, and he's gripped with a terror. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh anochi lo yodati. Ein zeh kim beis elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. And he does two things after that dream. The first one is reasonable. The second one, I believe, is nothing less than remarkable. The first thing that he does, v'yikach es ha-even, asher samir asher sav, he takes that famous rock that he had underneath his head, and he establishes it as a monument. And anoints it with wine, with oil, and that's reasonable. Some incredible event happens at a specific spot, so you want to mark it, you want to commemorate it, you want to consecrate that location, so you make a monument, you build a statue, you make a matzeva. Okay, that's reasonable. After that, what does he do? Vayikra es shem ha-makom ha-hu, Beis El. He decides to rename the city. Ve'ulam luz shem ha-ir la-rishana. Originally, the name of this town was called Luz. And he decides, because of this incredible image, this incredible vision that he experienced of Hashem, to name this location Beis El. Now, that's an incredible thing, because next time, you know, something special happens to you, so you want to make yourself a monument, you want to make a statue to remember that, that's fine. But to go ahead and to change the name of the city, that's already, I won't say arrogant, I want to call Yaakov Avinu arrogant, but what is he trying to accomplish by changing the name of the city to Beis El? And it's not just important that we know that he names it Beis El, it's also important for us to know that the city's old name used to be Luz. The Torah goes out of its way to make sure you remember the old name of the city. Now, if you think this was a one and done, and that's the last time we hear of the city of Luz, that's not correct. Fast forward, 350, 400 years. Klal Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim. They travel through the Midbar, they leave Mitzrayim, they settle in Eretz Yisrael, Yehoshua guides them, they conquer much of Eretz Yisrael, and finally, after Yehoshua dies, Klal Yisrael, the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, find themselves with thorns in the side. They find themselves with pockets of Canaanim scattered throughout Eretz Yisrael, and they have to figure out how are we going to defeat the Canaanim that are causing problems to Klal Yisrael. And the first Perek of Shoftim describes how they attacked each of these different pockets of Canaanite strongholds throughout Eretz Yisrael. And there was one specific Canaanite stronghold, and that was in the city of Beit El. And the Torah, and the Pasuk there in Shoftim says that they went to surround the city, to check it out, to investigate the city, to spy on the city. Vayasiru Beis Yosef Beis El, they spy on the city of Beit El. And the Pasuk says, what's Beit El? V'shem ha'ir lefanim, Luz. That was the city that used to be called Luz. Come on, 400 years ago it was called Luz. 400 years ago, before we came into Eretz Yisrael, before we traveled through the desert for 40 years, before we were in Mitzrayim for 400 years, Yaakov Avinu, before Yaakov Avinu's time, it was called Luz. It hasn't been called Luz in 400 years. And the Torah still wants to focus on the fact that you should remember, that was the city of Luz. What's the magic of this city of Luz that the Torah is so much trying to focus our attention on, and not just focus on the fact that now it's called Beit El? Well, the Gemara in Sotah says that the city of Luz was not just a regular city. It was a unique city. It was a city that when Sancheiriv came and tried to scatter all the different people from one city to another city, well, that's how Sancheiriv's empire was built. He would conquer a land and he would move people from here to there and there to here. And when he came to conquer Beit El, he conquered it. I'm sorry, he wasn't able to be mevalbel it. He wasn't able to, you know, mix the people from here to there. When Nebuchadnezzar came, to destroy Eretz Yisrael. He conquered the whole land of Eretz Yisrael. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but he was not able to destroy the city of Luz. The city of Luz was beyond his ability to conquer. And continues the Gemara, Va'af Malach Hamaves, Ein Lo Rishus La'avor Bo. The Malach Hamaves was not allowed to enter this city of Luz. So that means that anyone who lived in the city of Luz lived forever? Lived for hundreds of years? How come we don't find that? Continues the Gemara and says the following, that when a person would reach a point that they would say, okay, enough is enough, time has come, all they had to do was go for a little spatzir, they'd walk out their front door, walk towards the edge of the city, step outside the city limits, and that's where the Malach Hamaves would greet them and do his job. What an unusual city this is. This city of Luz, that Yaakov changed to become Beis El, but we never forgot that that was the city of Luz. It was a city of life. It was a city of immortality. The Malach Hamaves had no power in the city of Luz. And I saw quoted in the name of the Zohar that this was not a new phenomenon. There was no event that precipitated the unique power of the city of Luz. Zohar is quoted to say that from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, from the very dawn of time, dawn of human history, from Sheshis Mebrishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set there to be one place in the world that was absolutely out of the power, out of the realm of the koach of the Malach Hamaves. Could you imagine how much real estate would be there? If I tell you I have a place that you could buy an apartment there, and no one ever dies in this apartment building, in this city, in this village, in this town, how many thousands of dollars per square foot real estate must have been in that city? It's a city that had a history. It's not just that at a certain point in time, for the dawn of history, everybody knows the city of Luz is a city where no one dies. You don't have to worry about car accidents. You have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about corona. You just have to live in this city and you're guaranteed until whenever you feel you're ready, then you step outside and you know, you'll meet the Malach Hamaves there. But until then, you can live forever in this city of Luz. Luz was like the potion, the air of Luz was a potion of immortality. We would think that this city should grow, that this city should prosper, this city should last forever. Where is it? Where is the city of Luz, this magical city of immortality, of no Malach Hamaves? Comes Yaakov Avinu, and he goes to the city that presumably should be a world-famous destination, and he renames the city. He has this vision of Malach Elokim Olim V'yardim Bo, and he goes to the city and he says, I'm going to change your name. You're not Luz anymore. You're now Beit El. What does Yaakov Avinu gain by changing and renaming that city of eternal life, changing its name from Luz to Beit El? What is he trying to do? What is he trying to accomplish? And most importantly, what is he trying to teach us, his children? I saw a beautiful thought from Rebbe Yoshev Zatzal. Rebbe Yoshev writes that Yaakov Avinu, by changing the name of this incredible city of Luz, this immortal city of Luz, to be called Beit El, is teaching us something fundamentally important. People think that, you know, when I start this diet, I'm going to feel young again. When I start this new exercise regimen, I'm going to be a new person. People think I'm going to take this nutritional supplement and I'm going to go back 20 years. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to live forever. I just do this. And Yaakov Avinu tells us immortality, nitzchias, is not gained by living in a city that happens to have the zip code of Luz. It's not the city of Luz that makes a person live forever. If Hashem wants, if the Malach Hamaves wants, we could Hashem will engineer that. A person will have to step out of the city and the Malach Hamaves could address his client there outside the city. So if so, how is immortality achieved? How could a person indeed live forever? That's what Yaakov Avinu tries to tell us. Vayikra es shem hamakom hahu Beis El. If you take the place where you live, if you take the place wherever you may or may not be, even if your zip code is not the Luz zip code, whether it's a vaccine or no vaccine, although it would be wonderful to have a safe, effective vaccine, what gives us immortal life is nothing but being in Beis El. And that's the house of Hashem, a place where we're doing Torah, where we're doing mitzvahs. That is our key to immortality. That is our purchase power of nitzchias, our ability to acquire nitzchias and to acquire immortality, to acquire eternity, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the ability and the opportunities that we have through which we connect to Hashem. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is doing. When he said, this city of Luz is the city of immortality, you think it's the city of Luz that brings immortality? Let me reframe that for you, says Yaakov Avinu. Let me teach you what really grants a person or a community immortality and nitzchias, and that's being in Beis El, being in the house of Hashem. It's the Torah and the mitzvahs, and that was the lesson that Yaakov Avinu wanted to teach us. That's what we mean when I said that the topic of this shiur is called the state of mind and the city of life, the city of immortality. It's because it's a lot dependent, very much depends on our perspective, on the things that we do, on decisions that we make, to the extent that we're able to connect to Hashem, that dedicate ourselves to Torah and mitzvahs, to that extent, we have not just life, but we have immortality, we have nitzchias. Now, that's the first half of today's discussion. The second half of today's discussion, I think, might be a perspective that we could try to adopt a little bit, of seeing ourselves in a different light, of reconfiguring ourselves, that when I look in the mirror, maybe I see myself in a little bit of a different way, that maybe could bring me to put myself in that base ale that Yaakov Avinu wants ourselves to be in. Also, another idea, based on the first pasuk of our parasha, of Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov again had his dream. And what was the dream? The dream is, V'nei malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo, malachim are climbing up the ladder, down the ladder, and who's on top, perched on top of the ladder, V'nei Hashem, nitzav alav, HaKadosh Baruch is perched, kivayachal, on top of the ladder. Very interesting image. Gemara Chulin comments that what were those malachim doing? What were they scurrying up a ladder, down the ladder? You sort of picture, everybody has their own mental image, their own visual image in their minds of what the picture of the ladder looked like, the malachim climbing, were they hovering on top of the rungs, were they climbing on the rungs, do they have hands, do they not have hands? Each other picture, you know, picture a little kid climbing a ladder, picture an older a construction worker climbing a ladder. You picture malachim with their wings climbing a ladder. Are they flying up the ladder? Are they flying down the ladder? Were they climbing on the rungs? I don't know. But the Gemara in Chulin describes what they were doing climbing up and down the ladder. Listen to how the Gemara in Chulin describe the travels of the malachim up and down the ladder. Olin, they would go up, umistaklim bidyukno shalmala, and see the image of Yaakov Avinu engraved up there. What does that mean? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a kisei hakavod. These are words we don't really understand. He has his heavenly throne, and etched on the side of the heavenly throne, as the pasuk in Daniel says, there were four images. And one of the images on the side of the throne, as we'll see what the others were in a moment, was the image of Yaakov Avinu, etched, carved into the side of the kisei hakavod. And the malachei Elokim, olim v'yordim, they would go up and look at the image of Yaakov, and curiously they would scurry back down and look at him sleeping there on the ground, what in the land that ultimately became Beis El, and they'd recognize him there, and they'd be confused. It's the same, this is the Yaakov, that's the Yaakov, that's the Yaakov, this is the Yaakov, the same Yaakov that we see up there etched in the side of Hashem's throne of the Kisei HaKavod is the same Yaakov here on the ground sleeping, and the Yaakov that we see here on the ground sleeping is the same Yaakov we see etched on the throne up above on the Kisei HaKavod. And that's what the malachim were busy with, scurrying up and down this ladder. I want to share with you a beautiful thought from Rav Shimshon Ashtrapoli, a little bit of a Hasidish Mahalach, but it's a beautiful idea. When Yaakov Avinu awakes, Torah tells us, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. He awakes from his slumber, from his sleep, from his dream. Vayomer, and he says, Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Achein, behold, there is Hashem in this place. What does the word Achein stand for? What are the Rashi Tevas of Achein? Achein are the Rashi Tevas of three out of the four images that are etched on the side of the Kisei HaKavod. What are the other three besides Yaakov Avinu? The other three is an Aryeh, a kruv, one of the kruvim, and a nesher, an eagle. A lion, an eagle, and a kruv are etched. Those are the four sides of the Kisei HaKavod that the pasuk tells us in Yechezkel. It's an explicit pasuk in Yechezkel. I said Daniel, I'm sorry, it was pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel says, pasuk perek yud in Yechezkel says, that the Kisei HaKavod have four faces. One of the faces is Pnei Kruv. The second one is the face of a man. The third one is the face of a lion, Pnei Aryeh. Varavi, and the fourth face of the Kisei HaKavod, says the pasuk in Yechezkel perek yud, is Pnei Nesher, the face of an eagle. And therefore Yaakov awakes and he must have had some image of the Kis Yaakov. That's what the pasuk said when on our parasha when it said, "Vinei Hashem nitzav alav Hashem." He sees Hashem above his ladder. He had a picture of the Kis Yaakovod, and says, "Rosh Shimshon Ashtrapoli, Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh." Achein, I had the image of Achein. What's Achein? Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. If I could just ask you to please mute your phones, it'll just be better for the audio. Achein, Aleph, Chaf, Nun, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. I experience, I see the things, the three sides of the Kis Yaakovod. V'anochi lo yadati. Says Rosh Shimshon Ashtrapoli, you know what Anochi stands for? That same three letters that we saw before. Aleph for Aryeh, Nun for Nesher, Chaf for Kruv, Yud is for Yaakov. Anochi lo yadati. I didn't realize that my face is up there in the Kisei HaKavod. Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. The Aleph Chafnun, the Aryeh, the Kisei, the Kruv, and the Nesher, that I realize is up there on the Kisei HaKavod. V'anochi, but that extra Yud, those three plus Yud, the Yud for Yaakov, I never realized that my face is also etched there on the Kisei HaKavod. And that was what Yaakov saw. And that's what was surprised Yaakov when he said, Anochi lo yadati, I never realized that the fourth face of the Kisei HaKavod was me, myself, was Yaakov himself. That's the extra yud of Anochi lo yadati. I didn't realize that I was there. Now, I want to ask you a question. The question is the following. There is a tradition, one place in Shas, that says indeed that the image of Yaakov Avinu was that fourth image. There's another place in Shas that seems to say that the fourth image was just Adam. It doesn't specify Yaakov, it says Adam. Paskin Yecheskel says it was a face of an Adam, of a person, of a man. Seems like it's Adam Harishon that whose image was etched on the side of the Kisei HaKavod, not Yaakov. So we seemingly have a contradiction whether the image, that fourth side of the Kisei HaKavod, was Yaakov Avinu's image, or was it the image of Adam Harishon? So the simple answer is based on Gemara Bava Basra Daf Nun Ches writes something fascinating. The Gemara tells us that the beauty of Yaakov, Yaakov was a beautiful, had a beautiful visage. He had a beautiful image, a beautiful appearance. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that the beauty of Yaakov was me'ein, was similar, was a reflection of the beauty of Adam Harishon. They looked alike. Hard to imagine. But Yaakov Avinu's beauty reflected was an image of the beauty of Adam Harishon. If that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense. Both Gemaras, both Chazals are right. The image on the Kisei HaKavod is Adam Harishon. It's also Yaakov because they looked alike. They looked the same, so it looked like both of them. That's the simple reason, simple answer, between this contradiction of how on one hand, Chazal tells us that Yaakov's image is etched on the Kisei HaKavod, while on the other hand, Chazal seems to indicate that Adam Harishon's image was etched on the Kisei HaKavod. But I have a friend who's a rabbi here in Woodmere, Rabbi Yori Levin, and he told me a beautiful idea that I'd like to share with you. What does it mean that on the Kisei HaKavod is one of the four sides of the Kisei HaKavod is an image of Adam? Maybe it's not Adam Harishon. Maybe Adam with a lowercase a, as in humanity. Maybe that fourth side of the Kisei HaKavod is almost like a mirror, that every human being could see himself, if he just looks at the Kisei HaKavod, could see themselves there. There's the possibility, the potential for any human being to be reflected in that fourth side of the Kisei HaKavod. Maybe it was like a mirror. When Yaakov Avinu saw the Kisei HaKavod, he looked on that side that was of Adam, and he saw no one but himself. And that's what was his surprise to him. Yaakov Avinu's surprise was the surprise of every Jew. Anochi lo yadati. I didn't realize that me, myself, that when I perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that Hashem nitzav alav, Hashem sitting on top of the malachi, on top of that sulamut tzav arza, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never realized that I'm there. That perspective that a person could have, to realize that it's not just there's a world up there and then there's me, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested each and every one of us with the opportunity, with the ability to somehow connect, to reach a potential, to have, we each have within ourselves a certain element of ruchnius, of divinity in us. Pasuk tells us, "Vatechasreu ma'at mei elo." It's either Elohim or Elokim, that we're made with a little bit less than Hashem. Where there's a little bit of divinity within each and every one of us. When we look at ourselves as, you know, I'm a person. I wear a shirt. I have I look like this, I'm this tall, I'm this heavy. That's not who I am. We have to look in the mirror and be able to see that ruchnius, that spirituality, that neshama whom we are. And that neshama, which is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we look at the Kisya Kavod, if we ever had the opportunity, like Yaakov, you know, had that incredible, unique, rare experience of experiencing, seeing what does it mean to look at the Kisya Kavod, to see what Hashem is, and guess what? He saw he was up there. That's what it means. Anochi lo yadati. I'm so surprised. I was there. I'm there. I'm reflected. My own image is on the Kisya Kavod. For a person to have that perspective, all of a sudden, we realize the things that we could accomplish, the control of ourselves, the gvura that we could have when we want to be able to control ourselves and not say certain things. We want to go out of our comfort levels and be able to say things to make somebody else feel good. I'm not just flesh and bones. I'm not just a bunch of triggers and responses to neural stimuli that make me respond to things that happen around me. I make my own decisions. I have the ability to say things that will help somebody feel good. I have the ability to shut my mouth when I have the ability when I don't want somebody to feel bad. These are things that make me more than just a human being. These are things that make me divine. I can use my time for Torah, for mitzvos, for tehillim, things that elevate me because I am an elevated creature. I'm not just a human being. I'm a little bit on that Kisei HaKavod. And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Not the question, but that's the wonder. The curiosity that we always have to wonder about ourselves. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazev anochi lo yadati. I never realized that I myself, whether it's Yaakov Avinu, or whether it's any one of us on this call, or any one of our people in our family or in our community, we could say, anochi lo yadati, I never realized I'm on that Kisei HaKavod. And hopefully we'll put these two ideas together, that the idea that we said earlier about the fact that being in Beis El, making our place, wherever our place is, whatever our zip code we find ourselves physically, but making wherever we are a Beis El, a place of Hashem, of Torah, mitzvos. And this second idea of realizing that there's an image of ourselves on that Kisei HaKavod, we could merge the two, we could dovetail the two thoughts and realize that to the extent that we realize our potential of being close to Hashem, our potential of our likeness being etched on the side of the Kisei HaKavod, no less than that, that could give us the strength to dedicate ourselves in all aspects of our lives, however we're able to, whether it's through emunah, through tefillah, through chesed, through Torah, whatever way we connect to Hashem, and whichever ways we connect to Hashem, make our own life a Beis El, and bizocha thereby to true immortality, to true nitzchias, to the true secret of the city of Luz, to the city of Beit El. So I want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. I want to thank Mrs.